Let me invite you to turn in your Bibles, please, back to Ephesians 1. And let us read the Word of God together. I'm going to start in verse 15 of Ephesians 1, and I'll read down to the end of the chapter, but we're going to focus today on verse 19. The Word of God reads as follows, verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen. That is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your wonder-working power that works in the believers through the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to understand your word today, we pray in his name. Amen. All right, so verse 19 then, we are arriving at the third of three prayer requests of Paul for the believers, okay? Just because we have come to know Christ as Savior doesn't mean there isn't still a long road ahead of us, okay? We've already become partakers of many spiritual blessings from God in Christ, but it doesn't mean there's now nothing further that we need to make it successfully to the end of our lives. We need to have this ever-growing, ever-deepening knowledge of God. And by knowledge, we mean knowledge by experience, right? Not just to know things, to know facts, but to experience God in our lives if we're going to bring our lives in this world to a successful conclusion. Okay, now Paul knows this is true of the Christian life, and so we have this prayer. He's entreating God, the Father of glory, to grant the believers a spirit of wisdom and understanding so that they may know, and we've had these three things, okay? This is the third one, okay? Not just, as I said, not just to know them, but to have experience of them in our lives. The hope of God's calling. Are you hopeful, right? Are you hopeful? Do you realize that God has called you to an eternal hope? The riches of the glory of the inheritance God bestows. We need to know these things, feel them. We need to yearn for them. Okay, and so now the third one, he really takes off here, I think, and he's gonna take this ball and run with it for into chapter 2 and beyond. What is the exceeding greatness of the power of God toward us who believe? Okay, he's going to come back to this theme again and again. He touches on it in most of his other letters as well. God's mighty power at work, energizing you, operating within you. He says, us who believe, okay? It's one thing to have a hope about things to come, right? Things God has promised. It's one thing to have a comprehension of the riches of the glory of our inheritance, right? Those things encourage us. They give us comfort. They give us patience. They give us joy. But unless God's power actually operates in our lives, we're just going to sort of flop and flounder around, never having victory, never overcoming, right? Yes, God's eternal future that he has for us will seem glorious, but it will seem out of reach because we will always feel weak and unsuccessful, right? We need God's power. So you see in 18 and 19, there's this kind of progression of thought, right? The hope of his calling, right? That's kind of the beginning. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, right? It's a deeper understanding of things to come, okay? And now thirdly, what do we need in order to achieve those things for which we hope? His exceedingly great power, okay? Notice how he piles up the words there. It's more than just power. it's more than superpower, right? Some, you know, you read comic books or whatever, people have superpowers. No, it's more than superpower, right? This is his exceedingly great power toward us who believe. It's my opinion, I think, that most Christian failure, and I include myself and my own caving to temptation and so on, my own falling into sin, I think that most Christian failure arises out of a failure to realize and personally appropriate this truth, this excellent greatness of God's power, the magnitude of God's power toward us who believe. This is life-giving, transforming, enabling power. Okay, we have all the, I'm sure you have given these excuses before in your life. I've given them. I hear them a lot. I can't. It can't be done. I'm too weak. It's too late now. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what it's like to be me. The temptation's just much too strong. This is just who I am. You're going to have to accept me for who I am. I'm not going to change. All that kind of Christian compromise and Christian backsliding and Christian surrender to temptation, Christian fear, it all traces back to doubt and disbelief about what is the exceeding greatness of God's power. Okay, when I say disbelief, I mean, you know, you read things in the Bible and you say, well, yeah, I know, but. For example, the Bible says, nothing shall be impossible with God. Right? It says, God works in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and sound judgment. And people say, yeah, I know the Bible says those things, but you don't know what it's like to be me. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm living with. You don't know what a struggle it is. Okay, there's, yes, I know, but. Are you saying that God, you know, listen to yourself. Are you saying that even God doesn't have the power to make his will a reality in your life? Does God not have the power? Are you saying that you must disobey? Are you saying you must fall into sin? That's what I mean by unbelief. Okay, because that's what you're saying. Even God does not have the power to help me overcome this. Okay, but his word says that there is no trial or temptation that overtakes us except the sorts of things that are common to people. And that God will not let us be tested beyond what we can bear, but with each test he will make a way out so that we may be able to bear it. Okay, and that word able appears in there twice, okay, not beyond what you're able, but that you may be able to bear it. That word able is directly related to this word power, okay, so that you may have power, so that you may be able, right, not because you're able, but because of the exceeding greatness of God's power in your life, so that he may hold you up, okay. Again, I find that in the minds of many churchgoers, the power of God, it exists in stories. You know, it's a storybook reality only. It's not something that I expect to actually operate in my daily life. Okay, so did Jesus walk on the water? Yes, I believe the story. Okay, did David slay the giant? Yes. Did Moses part the Red Sea? Yes, but that was different, right? That was then, this is now, okay? You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know my life. You don't know what it's like to be me. Okay, I don't have to know. The pastor does not have to know what you're going through because you don't need his power. You need God's power, right? You don't need your own power to be greater either. You need God's power. And so Christians, like I said, they flop and flounder around in their lives because the eyes of their understanding haven't really been opened to know what is the exceeding magnitude of God's power toward those who believe. Hey, Peter, why did you doubt? Right? What did Jesus say? Oh, ye of little faith, right? You believe, but you believe so feebly, so weakly. OK, Okay, stop being afraid and stop being feeble and stop saying, well, it would take a miracle. Yeah, I know it would take a miracle. It does take a miracle, but we have a God who does miracles, right? And actually in the Bible, sometimes the word used for a miracle is this word power, okay? Works of power, right? Jesus did many mighty works, the Bible says, right? Not just wonders, he did works of might, works of power. And I think all that Christians believe about salvation sometimes is that their soul is safe, if you know what I mean, okay? When salvation means when you die, you go to heaven, your sins have been forgiven, but that's, okay, that's just, you know, I put that in the bank for later. As for the magnitude of God, the working of the exceedingly great power of God in them and on them and through them now as they live their lives in Jesus, it's a storybook, okay? It's storybook power. I'm not acquainted with that. I don't feel like I'm plugged into it. My troubles are too big to be overcome. They're too much for this power, okay? So some people realize they have spiritual problems and are very forthright about it. I know I should be doing better. I know I should be trying harder, as if by them trying harder, you know, there's going to be more success. No, you haven't got it. It's not you trying harder. You're still unaware of the exceeding greatness of the power of God towards us who believe. And some people feel like their defeats and their stagnation are because of demons and dark forces, you know, getting the upper hand on them. Well, who really has the upper hand, right? You know, the Bible says that the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. There is, it's surpassing power, exceeding power. God is far mightier than any demon or any dark forces, right? And that's what we just read here about Jesus Christ. He is far above them. He is far above all of the forces of darkness, okay? If you belong to Christ, those forces of darkness cannot retain a grip on you. Somebody told you a lie, if you believe that. And you know who told you a lie? It's actually the devil. He wants you to think he is much more powerful than he is. Do you remember what was in the movie, the Pilgrim's Progress, where the guy was in the cage and he's moaning and groaning, I can't get out, I'm stuck in here, I'm doomed. Remember that guy? You have the key. Okay, the cage is, you're not stuck in there, right? God's given you the key. You're not trapped. There's the exceedingly great power of God. And it is a real thing. It's not just something that exists in storybook tales about Jesus doing magic tricks, okay? And you know how the Bible says you're mistaken because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. He is mighty in power. So that's the prayer. I pray that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and enlightenment so that you can, you know, wake up and smell the power of God, okay? Strengthening, stabilizing, arming you for battle, giving you confidence, giving you sure-footedness, endurance, self-control, and therefore victory, right? He's given us not a spirit of timidity. He's given us a spirit of power, love, and sound judgment, okay? So you're still tangled up in a bad habit because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. You quake in your boots about having to evangelize because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. We fear the outcome of the next election or whatever's going to happen in the world. Same reason, because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. You get afraid of, you're afraid of dying, afraid of growing old, growing weak. Same thing. Why not? Because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. You shall receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon you, right? It's the promise of the Father. That's what he said. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, okay? The Holy Spirit is the first taste of the power of the age to come, right? That glorious age that is coming, the Holy Spirit that God has given us is a deposit of that. He's given us a taste of what's to come, okay, until the day comes for Christ to redeem us. Okay, but he says, you shall be endued with power from on high. Lord God, how we want to see that power energizing our church. I'm kind of weary of going around and around in sin. I'm weary of being weak. I'm weary of chasing my tail. I am weary of having to come back to God again and again and say, I'm sorry, I blew it again, I failed again. Okay, I rejoice to see, whenever I see God's mighty power changing a heart, okay, operating in the life of one of our people. I love it when God heals a heart. I love it when God gives a victory. I love it when God opens someone's eyes to see something in the Word of God they never saw before. I love it when there is reconciliation between people. That's God's power. Lord, show us more of your power. Let your Spirit fill our hearts. Let your Spirit transform our lives. Give us that quickening that we need to make an impact here among each other, in our neighborhoods, wherever we should go. Lord, send your power into our hearts. You know how the Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why not? Because it's the power of God unto salvation. So let's have a look at the next verse and we will explain. Let Paul explain. End of verse 19. Here's what's this power? Power towards you? According to, what is the power that works in you? He says it's the same power according to the working of the mighty power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Okay, and we could stop there, but there is more. Okay, when he raised him up from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but the one to come. Okay, there is the mighty power of God on display to the human race. That is God's supreme testimony to the human race, that he raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. God broke the grip of death. He broke the grip of death. You understand this? You have to understand this, because here we're praying for some people on our prayer list. They're facing death. Death is all around us. We just had a death in our extended church family a couple of weeks ago when Mrs. Boswick died. Death will touch each one of us again and again. Every loved one that we have is going to face death. Each of us is going to face death. The Almighty God, the all-powerful God, broke the power of death. He testified to the world he could break the power of death when he raised up Jesus Christ, his son, from the dead. Okay, and the Bible says Jesus came into the world and suffered death so that through death he could destroy the one who holds the power of death. Okay, that's the devil. So, you know, why are we afraid of the devil? What's he going to do to us? Is he going to kill us? What's he going to do after God raises us up from the dead? After that, what can he do to us after that? Nothing. His power is broken. He is toothless. He is disarmed. He is disabled. He's been brought to shame. That's what the Bible says, that Christ has subjected the powers and the principalities, and he's put them to an open shame. He has broken their power. Okay? The scripture says this about Jesus, that on the one hand, according to the flesh, according to his natural birth, he was the son of David, okay, and he was put to death in the flesh, but God made him alive by the Spirit of holiness, and according to that Spirit of holiness, he was declared with power to be the Son of God, right? Not just merely the Son of David. His resurrection declares him with power to be the Son of God, and now he's enthroned in heaven. God didn't just raise him from the dead. He exalted him to the highest heavens, seated him at his right hand, and now all principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions are subject to him. He is far above them all, okay? That was accomplished by the mighty power of God. That power that God wrought in Christ when he did that is the power that works in you and me who believe. We have come to God through Christ. He has given us of his Spirit. That is the power, that same power that God manifested to the world through his Son, Jesus Christ, when he raised him from the dead and assumed him into the heavens, okay? Provided only this, provided that you have taken Christ to be your Savior. That is the only condition. If you have taken Christ as your Savior, if you have received him, this power is already at work in you and will work in you God who began a good work in us, you know what it says? He'll be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, provided that one thing, that you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? God's power, right? You know, you read the first chapter of Genesis. By the word of his mighty power, he spoke and the world sprang into existence. That's power. And the Bible says, by the word of that same power, he upholds the universe. By that power, God raised his son up from the dead. By that power, he exalted him to the heavens and seated him at his right hand. And by that same power, he is working in us a new creation. Okay? If anyone is in Christ, he is new. Okay? He has already, for those of us who belong to Christ, he's already worked that power in us by bringing us out of spiritual death into spiritual life. You read down into chapter 2, you see this is the ball he's picking up to run with, right? You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but he has quickened you. He's made you alive. That's God's mighty power, okay? I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God to salvation, the power of God, the wisdom of God. Okay, so when Paul writes to the other churches, he comes back to this. Our word didn't come to you just as the word of man. It came with a demonstration of the power of God. It came with the Holy Spirit. It came with much assurance so that your faith wouldn't rest on a man talking. It would rest on the power of God. Okay? I wish God would make a demonstration of such power in our hearts and in our midst, that he would awaken us again. He would revive us, quicken us, move us, energize us. How do I know that anyone belongs to the Lord? How do you know? How do you know that you belong to the Lord Jesus? If I see his power at work in your life, teaching you, healing you, strengthening you, giving you stability, giving you good hope, turning you towards holiness and godliness, allowing you to sing, to praise. When we sing, you love to sing, you love to worship God, you pray from the bottom of your heart, you're steadfast, you're joyful. That's when I see God's power at work in a life, because it's a new creation. It's life from what was dead, right? Not just these dead, dull, gray people who managed to wander their way through life. You're alive, you're quick, you are living in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how I know, okay? And a Christian ought to be able to say, God has done a mighty work in me. I am not, by the grace of God, I am not what I once was. I am what I am now. God has given me life, a living hope. He's given me a glimpse of glory, effectual, fervent power, God working in my life. I want to be done with living in the Christian doldrums, don't you? You know how the Bible says, having a form of godliness but denying its power, right? This can be just a form of godliness. We assemble, we worship, we read, we sing. Okay, it can be just a form of godliness, but it can be empty of power unless God works his mighty power in us. And also that saying, I know I should do better, but I can't. You just have to accept me as just the way I am. I won't get any better. I've been like this for 40 years, and I'm just going to, you know. I would say pray for God's power in our church, but I just want to adjust that thought a little bit. God's power already is there in those who believe. That's what the scripture says. His power is already at work. So it's pray that God would grant us a spirit of revelation and wisdom so that we may know what is his exceedingly great power, which is already at work in us who believe. Okay, when you come to Sunday school, that's God's power at work. If you're listening, if you're learning the lesson, when you sing from the bottom of your heart, that is God's power working. When you forgive someone, when you pay attention to a sermon, when you pray, okay, this is God's powerful, effective, working energy. Okay, when you read your Bible with a mind bent on understanding it and obeying it, right? That is the Holy Spirit's power at work in you. God works in you to will and to act, right? My will changes, becomes like his will. My actions change, they become like his. God works in you to will and to act according to his excellent will. He's making us fit for his presence for eternity, right? He's changing us. He is making us new. He started that good work. On the day that you came to Christ, he is faithful to complete it all the way. He's a master craftsman, right? He is at work in you, on you, through you, to make you fit for his presence. And I pray that you would see it, that you would know it, that you would believe in it, hope in it, and that you would live in it. And I do want you to know that if you have not received for yourself the Lord Jesus Christ, every time we are together, there is an opportunity. And even when you're at home, there's an opportunity. But you have an opportunity now to give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him for yourself. Because the power is for us who believe. The power is not for the man at large out in the world. It is for us who believe. It's a gift of a father to his children, his little ones, his little born-again ones, right? You must be born again. Okay, so today could be your spiritual birthday, right? If you haven't been born again, why not today? Today's what? February 23rd. Could be your spiritual birthday. Happy birthday. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive him for yourself. His exceeding great power in us who believe. It's not yours until you give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray that you will do that. You know, the Bible says there's more rejoicing in heaven over one who turns, one who repents, and over 99 others who don't need to do it. So it's the message of the cross. The world thinks it's foolishness. It's foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who believe, it's the power of God. It's the wisdom of God. All right, well then let's pray. Let's pray together. Almighty God, you are King of heaven and earth. You are our creator, our maker, our savior. Lord God, you give life to the dead. You call things that are not as though they were. You call things that did not exist into being. And we acknowledge, Lord God, that in our dead, cold hearts, you have brought forth new life. Through your Holy Spirit, Lord, you have awakened us to the truth of the gospel. You have allowed us to see the beauty of the Lord Jesus and his wonderful sacrifice for our sins that cleanses us. It takes away our guilt. It makes us your children. And I pray, Lord God, that those of us who believe would be well aware of the mighty strength of your power that is at work in us, that we need not fall to temptation. We need not slip. We need not feel weak, Lord. We are weak, but you are strong. You are strong to uphold us, to strengthen us, to allow us to carry on each day. We worship you. We give you the honor and glory because you, Lord, are powerful and mighty. And we pray, Lord, for any in our midst who have not made that connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that it would be made soon, made today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when someone can come into your kingdom. And so we pray, Lord God, that your Spirit would work in power to give new life, to grant new life, to open the eyes of our hearts. And Father, as we go out of here and as we go through our week ahead, remind us of this mission in life, this purpose, this wonderful power that is at work in the hearts of those who believe. And help us, Lord, to show your glories, your majesty, your goodness, your compassion, and your power to the world around us. Lord, please bring a new life into your kingdom. Give new birth, Lord, to one who is currently dead in their trespasses and sins. Have mercy, Lord God. Do this good work. We pray it for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Mediator, our Sacrifice, our King, and our God. We pray it in his name. Amen.